This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And this is Phyllis Smith, and this is Close Up. If you just heard, God, I love that music. It's just, it really just gets me so energized. So, you know, there's lots of books and articles being written about habits of successful people. But today, we're going to dissect not the really the big picture in terms of how to acquire wealth or grow your business. Today, we're looking into what successful people do every day to improve not just their business, but their life. And because the truth is, balance is the secret to success, because success isn't only about money. It's about creating joy in your life, at work, and at home. So one person who rocks the world of balancing work and life, ha ha ha, is one of our EWN Radio Network hosts, Mona Lisa Como, whose show Power Lunch airs live on Fridays at 12 noon Eastern, and you can always access, if you can't get her live, you can access her show on demand at EWNRadioNetwork.com. So welcome, Mona Lisa.
Thank you, Phyllis. What a wonderful intro. Hopefully I can live up to that hype.
Well, you do. You rock. You are, and then people will learn as we go on why you rock so much, and that you're not just a successful businesswoman. You're a mom. You have a good relationship with your husband. You are beautiful outside and in. You are a mentor. You are so many wonderful things. So it's really just such an honor to have you part of EWN Radio Network, and just I feel like just really a friend. So I'm so glad to have you here. So first,
well, you founded me, so I can definitely thank you for bringing me to the show. So I'm excited just to be a part of the EWN Radio Network and finding a family as well, where we have great shows to offer to our listeners like this one.
Well, good. Yeah, we'd love to have you here. So, you know, first a little, and I just alluded to some of the things that you've done and successes you've had. You've had a thriving career in the corporate world for many years until recently when you launched your own business, Interpowers Capital, and all of this while raising 5 children. So how do you do it? So if you would just give us the highlights, seriously, what landed you where you are today, and just kind of overall how you managed to fit that all in.
You know, I would love to say that it was all planned, and it wasn't intentional to say that I was going to have 5 children. My husband and I together, we have 5 kids between our families. Our oldest is a sophomore in college, and our youngest is 2 years old. And I would say, just going back to the beginning, when I first entered into corporate life back in 1994, you know, being a starving college student, I was hustling. And so I didn't know any better but to say I needed to make ends meet. I needed to provide for, you know, my college degree, and then eventually getting married and then providing for my family. So I think one of the things that I learned early on was to stay focused, because I was always very goal-oriented and I needed to put, you know, food on the table. Well, then very early on learning those opportunities, that became into, okay, I need to provide for my family. I need to also be a mom that's present, but at the same token, I have an opportunity for a career. So to your point, I was very blessed to grow up in Wall Street at a time when online trading was thriving, and being with founders that were entrepreneurs in this era, and also, you know, trailblazers, it gave me an opportunity to learn how to be an entrepreneur, since I started with founders at E-Trade back in 1994. So I got to ride that wave and also be a part of Wall Street from a corporate sector. So that was easy for me. It was easy because I didn't know any better. And then on the parenting front, same thing. You know, being brought up in a family where both my parents are children of 14. My mother's the oldest of 14 kids. My father's the 11th. I've never
so
known
your
small
family
families.
Of five
I have a small
just...
family. Yeah, I have a small family. Right. So to some extent, ignorance is bliss, because I'm, you know, when I married my husband and he was an only child and he was like, this is chaotic. I'm like, no, this is normal. Having people walk in your house and open your fridge is a normal occurrence. So that was the blessing.
So I mentioned, and I kind of laughed at it when I said that you managed to balance your life. You know, I don't want people to hate you too soon, you know, into this discussion. But the truth is, I mean, is there such thing as balance?
No, it's, you know, it's kind of like finding the perfect soul or the perfect soulmate or spouse. It's the person that is, you know, I believe is that can accept you for being as screwed up as you are. It's that's the perfect, to me, that's the perfect relationship, and it's also the perfect balance for your work life. I mean, I do believe that, you know, there's a new trend with a number of women executives. Jennifer Dulski wrote an article in LinkedIn most recently, said work-life balance is bull. And she's not saying necessarily that work-life balance, that it's impossible. What she's saying is, if you're looking for the right formula to say 50% of my time goes here and 30% of my time, there's no magic equation. It's where your priorities are, where your family is at the time, where your relationship is at the time. And then when you're there, are you fully engaged at that moment, or are you trying to do too many things at the same time?
Yeah, and really, so balance, like if we think of 100%, what makes sense is balance could mean that sometimes one thing will get 30, like you just said, 30%, sometimes something will get 70%, and then that could switch off at any point. And like you said, it all depends on where everything is. It's not, balance doesn't mean, balance
right.
means how do you feel in the
and
middle.
And what's a priority?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I would also change. Add to that. I'm sorry. I would also add to that the balance is, what's been interesting for me is I've had to learn over the years that it's the engagement of where my mind is at the present time. So if I am at work and I'm constantly lamenting about the fact that I missed something from my children, or, you know, my brain is focused elsewhere, well, then I say to myself, okay, well, this isn't the best value of time. And if I'm at home and I'm constantly on my BlackBerry or taking phone calls, then I'm not balancing my time. So to me, work-life balance is when you're in the moment, you've got to be engaged, because you're more successful if you're engaged at that moment with what the priority of that minute is. And that's not to say that you can never switch. It means just give it 100%.
Yeah. And truthfully, you know, there's been a lot of research now, and I read several articles about how, you know, this whole multitasking thing. There's no such thing. Your mind can do one thing at a time. The multitasking,
yes.
All that does is that when you try to do too many things, something's going to fall off the back of the truck. Something's going to lose. And you won't be successful because, you know, something is not going to be done as well as you could if you were completely focused on it.
Right. Actually, there was an exercise that one of my mentors had told me when I was saying, oh, I've got to do this, you know, I'm trying to do too many things at one time. And he said, well, I would argue that you're multitasking. I'm like, well, you know, it's the 90s, you have to multitask. He's like, okay, I'll give you a challenge and I'll prove to you that multitasking you're not as effective as you think. He said, time yourself and write on one piece of paper 1 through 20. I'm like, all right, that took me like 4 seconds. He said, okay, now time yourself and write 1 through 20, but you're going to flip the page, even and odd. Every single time you need to do this, you're going to do even on one page and odd on one. It took me like, I don't know, almost a minute to do that. And he said, proof is that you got it accomplished, but it took you twice as long.
Yeah, it
so
does.
There is something to be said about the work-life balance, but also from the focus standpoint. If you are trying to do too many things, I do agree that you won't be necessarily successful in it. It might take you longer. But that doesn't mean you can't juggle a life, a family, a relationship, you know, being involved in your community or your church and your career. It just means when you're there, engage and be there 100%.
And that is the balance. That's actually, when you think of balance, I'm also a yoga practitioner and certified yoga instructor and health coach. And truthfully, it's about balance is really just feeling good. How else can I say it? Feeling well. And well is not just physical. Feeling well is also feeling emotionally well. And if you are out of balance, could be your body can be out of whack, then you're not going to be able, then something's going to hurt your body. If you are out of balance, in terms of your daily activities, you're going to be stressed and you're going to feel bad. You're going to get anxious. You're not going to be as nice to your children. You're not going to be as nice to your husband. Worst of all, you're not going to be as nice to yourself. You're going to beat yourself up because you didn't get something done. But do you think that now that you're a full-blown entrepreneur for Antiparos Capital, do you find that there is a difference finding that balance as an entrepreneur compared to when you were in the corporate world?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I will be honest with you, I took that for granted. You know, it was great about the corporate world is it was very defined. And that's not to say that there weren't things to be unexpected, but you knew the realm of what you could control every day. And being an entrepreneur, the dangers of being an entrepreneur is it's kind of like being a freelancer. You can go wherever the heck you want to go. And so to some extent, you run the risk of trying to do too many things or spreading yourself out too thin or being too aggressive, whereas when you're an executive in a firm, you can only go so far as the firm, the entity, the enterprise will allow you. I mean, you're on a ship of a ton of people, and for you to make, you know, strategic decisions, it's going to affect multiple people, it's going to affect their financials, it's going to affect deliverables, and when you're an entrepreneur, it's almost that you have too many options, and if you don't gut check yourself, you say, okay, well, I want to expand this big, and I want to, you know, hire 15 people, and I think we'll catch up, and that takes, in my mind and in my experience with other entrepreneurs, that requires a lot more discipline to find your balance of what you can handle as an entrepreneur and not doing too much.
Every day an entrepreneur will wake up and, you know, they should probably have a plan for that day. And we're going to go into this in a moment. We're going to take a short break here. But it could vary either way. And it's knowing yourself and knowing enough of what, where you need to focus your energy, because it's all on you, basically.
Right.
So, all right, listen, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to get right into, dive into those 15 things successful entrepreneurs do every day. So stick around. We'll be right back.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
You're listening to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back. I'm speaking with Mona Lisa Comer. She is one of our hosts on EWN Radio Network. Her show is called Power Lunch, and it airs live on Fridays at 12 noon Eastern time. And of course, if you can't listen live, you can always access her shows on demand at EWNRadioNetwork.com. So, Mona Lisa, we were just talking about balance, and really balance is not about 50-50. It's about being in the moment and doing what works so that you can stay in the moment, and that ultimately helps relieve stress and really gives you just joy, a feeling of joy and satisfaction to know that you can, what you're doing is getting done, and it's and it's the best work you can do. I think that's really important. You were saying that when you multitask, something's going to fall off the back of the truck. Something is not going to do as well. It's going to take you longer to do as well. It's that kind of balance is important to understand that concept. So I found this article in Entrepreneur Magazine, the online version, and it's called 15 Things Successful Entrepreneurs Do Every Day, written by Jacqueline Whitmore. She's the founder of the Protocol School of Palm Beach. So one of the things that she says, the first thing she says, and this is what I like about this, is it's what do you have to do every day? It's not the big picture, that we hear about how to be a successful entrepreneur or business person or how to make money. What are the sort of those bigs that you strive for? Those are all valid and valuable, but every day it's important for us to do things and create habits that will help us in the short run, but then in the long term, because all these things lead to overall health and wellness, both physically and emotionally. So one of the first thing that she says is that 15 things successful entrepreneurs do every day. The first thing is eat breakfast. And I'm sure there's
amazing.
A lot of, yeah, I know, really, there's business owners out there, entrepreneurs out there like, yeah, right, my coffee,
yeah.
And then they don't eat until what, like 11? So
right.
Tell me, so what do you do? I mean, do you have breakfast? Is that something that's on your list?
You know, the funny thing is I did not eat breakfast as when I was in the corporate sector. If anything, it was more of a, if I got around to it. But on the entrepreneurial side, she's absolutely right. Like, if I don't have a granola bar or maybe a smoothie in the morning, I find that I just even tackling the day is not even that you don't have as much energy. But I would even argue for folks that say I don't need it. You'd be amazed after a few days of feeding your body how the ritual itself just it energizes you. So even if it isn't caffeine, if you start off even as that ritual to say that, okay, you know, I'm going to take this moment rather than jump into things. I almost feel like breakfast is somewhat of a meditation. You're forcing yourself just to take a little bit of time to focus mm-hmm. yourself before you delve into your day. So I think the breakfast piece is more of a calming thing for me, I notice. I feel re-energized instantaneously when I can, even if it's just a granola bar. But I do think it gives you that moment just to collect yourself before you tackle the big day ahead of you.
I completely agree. I cannot go without breakfast. I've always been a big breakfast eater. I have to say that's probably my favorite meal of the day, and I know that I am. There's not many people who feel that way, but what I do every morning besides trying to find time to exercise, the breakfast part is I make myself, and I generally have the same thing every day. I'm into the oatmeal thing now, and I just throw in whatever
that's
fruit
good.
I have and nuts. And what I like to do on a morning that's not too cold is I like to just sit out on my back porch. I make my coffee. And you're right. It's just a moment of just resetting and because if you're rushing, jumping out of bed, running in the shower, going to work, your mind isn't clear and your heart, your adrenaline is pumping, and there's just so many things that can go wrong with that, you know? And so I think that is really, really important. Another thing she says is plan your day. So now that you're in the entrepreneur world, how do you plan your day?
You know, I think this kind of dovetails. I now do that as part of my breakfast. Now, so when I was an executive at a firm, it was easy enough. You know, my admin knew this. She wouldn't even – the first thing she would do when I got in is I didn't take any meetings first thing in the morning. I needed to first take a look at everything and sit down and say, okay, you always have to change gears. There's something that's going to take a priority. There might be, you know, a fire drill that happens. And so planning your day, I think, is – it also helps –
to manage when we talk about balance. It's also the chaos that you can sometimes feel in the entrepreneurial as an entrepreneur, as well as, you know, being on the corporate side. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to take a whole hour to plan. In my mind, when I'm, you know, when I'm eating my breakfast, that's actually when I'm planning. I'm sitting down, I'm reflecting on what I have for the day. I'm not jumping anything. I'm not making phone calls. I'm just eating and being in the moment of saying, okay, big deep breath, something's going to happen, or these are the things that I need to tackle. And by the end of the day, these are the things that I want to get done. The other thing that I do with planning my days, that's a really big thing for me and my success, is I do not schedule things back to back. I do not believe in over-scheduling yourself to an eight-hour workday. There's one-offs that you will do that, but what I find with people who struggle and those that I mentor, it's the same thing with multitasking. If you over-schedule yourself, it's the same thing with, in my mind, drinking through a fire hose. How can you really even take a breath to even get things done if you are going from one meeting to another and jumping to another? If you allow yourself 15 minutes to get a cup of coffee, get some lunch, regroup, you're far more effective with your day and planning your day to give yourself some of that wiggle room. You're going to accomplish more as an entrepreneur. Undoubtedly, that's been a key for me.
And, you know, entrepreneurs are notorious overachievers.
Yes.
And so I think that there is a tendency to overplan. And so, and all you're doing, because they're overachievers, we tend to expect a lot of ourselves. And so the other psychological or emotional part of it is that if you overplan, odds are something's not going to get done. And all you're going to do is beat yourself up. So then you start losing confidence. I mean, it could snowball. You can start thinking that, you know, that you're oh, you're just this, you know, you're a failure. And so I think that's a really, really important thing, is to not to overplan. I see it all the time, that look in the eyes of the eyes, you know, this big around, saying, oh, I'm not going to get it done. Well, something has to go away. You know, and I think, but it can't, it's not about the day that happens. That's really planning in, you know, a way ahead in the future too. And knowing yourself, and or maybe you have a virtual assistant, somebody knowing you well enough to know how long is it going to take you to do X. And like you say, don't do things back to back. You've got to, you've got to be able to catch your breath. So in order to go on to the next, because if you keep doing that and over planning, you might feel like you've accomplished everything. But does that mean you're really successful? Does that mean that is leading to ultimate, you know, for you to succeed and grow if all you're doing is playing catch up? So I think that's really important, too.
And I would also, you know, I agree with the article. One of the things that I like, which she actually highlighted as planning your day, is she says, first thing in the morning, look at your calendar and prioritize your schedule. And what that means to me is I say to myself, there's 18 things that need to get done. There's always going to be 18, you know, different things or a dozen things. What are the three things that I will feel accomplished by the end of the day? And then when you go into your day saying, if I can minimally get these three things done, then I won't beat myself up, you know, the whole guilt factor. And I do that not only with my, you know, professional life. I also do that with my personal life. If I say, okay, mentally today, I've got to make sure that I have dinner with the kids, I read a book to my two-year-old, and I get to sit and watch, you know, the news with my husband. If I can achieve those three things, those little moments where I'm engaged and not doing work, then I will also feel accomplished. But to your point, over-planning, I think that was just a byproduct of our generation growing up in a digital era that was somewhat new, and then having the ability to take on more isn't necessarily a good thing. So I do think the next generation is seeing how their parents have overplanned and overscheduled, and I see that a lot in the next generation where they are very okay with saying, that's too much in one day, I'm just going to do this, and I'm good with it. But going back to prioritizing, I think will make a number of entrepreneurs feel successful by the end of the day.
Yeah, and along those lines, moving on from planning, where she talked about you know, going through your calendar and prioritizing, one of the things she says is don't check your email right away.
I
think
love
that's
that.
Interesting because who doesn't? I mean, that's the first thing that I do. And I know this. I mean, I've actually watched videos on people, you know, whose specialty is time management and saying, don't check your email right away. When I get to work, what's the first thing I do? I check my email.
You check your email. Right.
Yeah.
We're kind of wired that way.
I know. She says it's tough not to hop on your smartphone first thing in the morning and see who emailed you. Often checking email is a distraction from what you want to focus on early in
right.
the day. She says try to wait until 9 or 10 in the morning to check your email after you've completed at least one of your critical to-do items. If you're working on an important project, try not to check your email more than,
three times a day. Yeah,
More than three. Yeah, it got cut off on the paper. But, only do check it three times. But that is, I think, probably the most challenging thing for entrepreneurs, don't you think?
I think it's tough, and I agree with her, but I would also say that I think it's not just checking your email right away. I would also say you got to disconnect at night. I'm a firm believer, and people who've worked with me and for me have known that I'm big on if I'm going to send you an email at 8 o'clock at night, I generally follow it up with, I just needed to get this off my plate. Please don't respond. Right, because I don't want another person who's checking their email at 8 o'clock to feel the need to engage, because then I will engage when they respond to me. I think the email management is probably one of the biggest hindrances that we have in progressing in our day and our schedule, because you get so caught up on the tactical of answering every little email, when in all honesty, in some instances, you're better suited picking up the phone and having a 15-minute conversation rather than, you know, having eight emails that go back and forth. And then secondly, if the email doesn't require you to respond, then don't. But the email, I think, not just checking it. Like, I mean, I would never wait till 9 a.m. because I'm up at 4:30 and I'm working at 7. But I think her point is try to get yourself in to the focus where you're not focused on the tactical of answering every single email first thing in the morning. Plan your day out and then give yourself some time to say, okay, well, I need to make these phone calls to these key suppliers, or I need to call a client. Let me get that out of the way and return these phone calls as an example, and then let me start answering the individual emails that are in my inbox, and then also prioritize if I need to get to all of them. I have a firm rule. If I see the same subject line three times in my inbox when I get back, I will generally look at the last one, and then I'll call the person, because then it's just too much going back and forth, and not everything needs to be conducted via email.
Yeah, and I know for me, I could tend to be a little bit ADD. So that's, you know, I'm sitting at my computer, I'm working diligently on something, and then I'll get that little pop-up from Outlook that's, you know, telling me I have an email, and my eyes will suddenly go and see who it's from and
squirrel.
What they say, and then I just stop doing what I'm doing to respond to that email, and I have got to stop that. It drives me crazy because I end up losing focus, and then I'm not as productive. So... Now, listen, I got to take
I've
a
turned
short
it
break.
Off.
Well,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
I know. I have to do that. I have to do that. I know. And people have told me that, and I still haven't. We're going to take a short break with Mona Lisa Como. And when we come back, we're going to dive even deeper into 15 things successful entrepreneurs do every day. So stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Janelle McCauley, the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, right here on the EWN Radio Network. Join me every Thursday to find out how you can take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the food you love. Each week, I'll bring you powerful and revealing interviews with doctors, health experts, and people just like you who have learned to create a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love. I look forward to serving you great content and healthy tips on Eat Great, Live Well Radio. And remember, if you can't listen to me live, you can always get the replay at EWNRadioNetwork.com. I invite you to join me each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, here on the EWN Radio Network and let's create your healthy future.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with your host, Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back. Phyllis Smith here talking with Mona Lisa Como. She is the host of EWN Radio Network's Power Lunch, which airs live on Fridays, 12 noon Eastern Time. And, of course, if you miss it live, you can always access her shows or any of our shows from our EWN Radio Network hosts at EWNRadioNetwork.com. So we were just going through the 15 things successful entrepreneurs do every day. We've gotten through three so far, Mona Lisa. So one, eat breakfast. The other, plan your day, and very important, not just plan, but don't overplan, and don't check your email right away. We're talking about, you know, you have that rule that if you see the same subject line three times in your email, you're just going to pick up the phone and call the person. But for the most part, you know, the recommendation is if you're working on a project, number one, don't check it till 9 or 10 in the morning. Get something done first. And then the other is if you have something that you're working diligently on and you have a focusing, that don't check it more than three times a day. Of course, it's very hard to do, but I think that's something that is really good advice. The other thing, another one, single task. We were talking about multitasking. We definitely talked about it earlier. Once again, your thoughts on multitasking?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what I said earlier. Multitasking, I think that we confuse multitasking and not being effective. You can still take on multiple things a day. It doesn't mean that you are linear in your approach, that you can only do one thing as an entrepreneur, one thing in your personal life and in terms of relationships as well as a career. It's when you're engaged at the moment. If you're working at work and you're engaged in a meeting, let's take meetings for instance. I can't tell you how many times people will sit in meetings and they'll be on their Blackberries the entire time doing something else when we need their attention for that 1 hour. So I'm a firm believer that the single task, you accomplish more and you also get it done faster if you can focus in that moment, whether that be your personal life or your professional life. If you give it your full 100% engagement, you're going to feel more accomplished and you're actually going to get something done.
The author of the article from Entrepreneur Magazine, Jacqueline Whitmore, she says to be productive and effective, prioritize, delegate whenever possible, and focus. One of the things I just want to elaborate on is that our Sandra Yancey, the founder and CEO of eWomen Network, when we have meetings, she does not allow cell phones in the meeting. Because that it can be a distraction. And it's also rude.
It is. I mean, it's, I know, it's amazing. Rude, right? We've lost that, right? That's just rude.
Exactly. And go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, you see that when you see people at restaurants, right? You're sitting there across, you know, it's a husband and wife, and one of them's on the phone. You're like, that's not nice. I mean, how about engage, you know, if you have to step out, take the call. But it's the same thing with being in a meeting. It's rude for you not to be engaged when someone's talking to you, and you should do the same thing when it comes to single task and staying focused.
Yeah. So we are talking about succeeding, what successful people will do, some of the things they do every day.
as a habit to help them succeed in business and life. And this is another one that Jacqueline Whitmore talks about is visualize. And I think this is really interesting. To close your eyes and envision your success. Imagine what you will feel like when you reach your goals. Visualization is a powerful tool and can help you keep your aspirations at the front of your mind. And I think what I love about that is we get caught up in the minutiae. I mean, don't
yes.
you think so? We get and then we forget what the big picture is. We forget
yeah.
that it's all about success, and it's not just I am going to succeed, but what does it feel like? That visualizing yourself, you know, standing up in front of a crowd after you just won an award for, you know, best entrepreneur or best product, for best app for, you know, for Apple or something like that. When you visualize that to me is charging you and keeping you focused from the inside out.
I agree. And, you know, it's funny, this seems like a small, maybe not so important task, but if you would ask anybody, any normal person on the road and said, if you won $100 million, what would you do with it? It wouldn't take any person more than a minute to go into detail in terms of what they would do if they had $100 million. But when you ask people to visualize their success, and it's tough for them, to me, it's are you afraid of the success? Is it hard for you? I agree with this tool because it forces you to, just like if you were to win the lottery, what would that feel like? What would you do with your success? It also helps you focus as to what is your overall goal, because if you don't know what visualizing success is like, then you need to retrench and say, is my company and is my business heading in the right direction? If I don't know what success feels like and I don't know how to define it, then you have to stay focused on defining that for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, it doesn't even have to necessarily be a big thing. It could be a small thing.
Right.
You know, at the moment, I'm working on editing a marketing video for the Women Network conference. And you know, you can get caught in that minutia. You know, you're sitting there editing little clips together and you kind of get caught. But thinking about, I mean, as we're discussing this, I'm thinking about what people watching it at the end, you know, people from work and seeing the result and saying, wow, that's fantastic. You know, the feeling that I get from that kind of feedback, and that it doesn't have to be in the big picture. It could be small, the little tasks that
right.
you do every day, or being able to go pick your kid up from school on time. Imagine, you know, his or her face when you're there, or, you know, sitting around the table, or like you talk about, you want to make sure that you want to read a book to your 2-year-old at night. It's not like, I better race home, I got to hurry. Imagining you being next to him, laying in bed and reading the book, and how close that he feels and how much he loves that you're there, you know, doing that. So it's a very important tool. Another thing is saying no. Boy, that's hard to do. I think women in general, very hard to say no. How do
you know,
do that? What do you do?
I'm getting better at it. Well, I would say that I think it's a lot easier for me to do these days because if it's the focus piece as well. You know, she writes in the article, not every opportunity will benefit you or your business. When I first started the business, you know, my dreams were big and I wanted to help everyone and every person. And so, you know, our business is to help small business owners in commercial real estate because we are in the lending market. Well, there are certain clients that I just couldn't help. And there were times where I would go over and beyond to try to help a client, and it was my nature to say, I don't want to fail at this, but the client had already moved on. They're like, I didn't think I'd be able to qualify, so we've moved on to the next. So I needed to learn when to fold as well and when to say not only no to chase every opportunity, but also no to myself to say, you've got to let this go. And I think that applies – you know, she says time is our most valuable commodity. There are things as an entrepreneur that, you know, you're going to try a marketing strategy, you're going to try an ad campaign, and you believe in it, and at some point you have to even check yourself and say, okay, I've ran this for, you know, 3 months and it's generated zero interest. We've got to change the strategic vision for this, you know, campaign. So I think it applies to yourself as an entrepreneur, but also with opportunities also.
I guarantee you people who have a hard time saying no in their work also have a hard time saying no at home. And you have to, I think it's important too, if you find that this is a pattern of yours, is to look at yourself and say, why can't you say no? What
right.
is it? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid someone's not going to like you? Or are you afraid that someone will be angry with you? Or are you afraid that you're going to fail if you have to say yes mm-hmm. to things? I think that's a really important component, is to look at yourself if you find yourself falling into that pattern. And of course, Sandra, again, Yancey, our founder, CEO of eWomen Network, another thing she always says, this is her number one thing, is no one does it alone. We all need
yeah.
to reach out and ask for help if we have something that's really important and critical, but we just can't do it, then we have to find someone else who can. Or you have to just organize things in such a way that you just have to say, you have to just learn to say no to other things. So that's really, really important. Another thing, value your time. And I think that falls right in line with saying
right.
no.
Yeah,
so do you
it
value
does.
Your
I
time?
Think
how much do you value your time?
I value my time a lot, especially having a radio station and two businesses going right now. You know, mm-hmm. the what I've learned is it comes back to the prioritization. I mean, she's done a great job in, you know, Jacqueline, in putting this article together, because they all kind of dovetail nicely into each other. By saying no, you're also valuing your time, because you're saying to yourself, and this is hard, especially for some women entrepreneurs out there, because no feels like a failure. If you say no, then that means you're not capable, and that's not the truth. You have to look at no's as opportunities to make yourself successful in areas that you are good. And that's where valuing your time, I think, for entrepreneurs across the board. If you value your time and you were to look at yourself, and she talks about this as an asset, you would never ask yourself to be the head of the maintenance in your company. If you said, okay, well, my brain is my power, this is what the strategic vision I bring, I can help my clients do X, Y, and Z, but you want to pick out the furniture for your business, well, that's not the best use of your time. There's other people to do that. Or are you spending time with business ventures that are not going to reap the rewards? And so the valuing of your time, I think it's easier for me because I come from Wall Street, so everything is a return on investment, and I use that term all the time, what's the ROI on this? If you looked at everything as what would I get out of it, I think it's easier for you to say, I should not be exerting any energy on this, because in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month or 3 months, it's not going to be material to where I need to go.
Yeah, I think it's important. And Jacqueline Whitmore says it is time is a non-renewable resource. I find
right.
myself saying, if I spend too much time on something that is going nowhere and there is, you know, nothing good or anything's going to come out of it of value to me, I say, well, that's all that time I'm not getting back. I mean, the world is spinning. We
yeah,
can't take
true.
Back. I mean, right now, what just
that's
happened
so
a second ago, that's it. That second's gone.
Yeah.
You lost it.
Yes.
So,
you owe me time. Well, you're not getting it back.
Exactly. She also says, guard your time. Spend it doing the most important things for yourself and your company. Avoid distractions whenever possible. Whether you facilitate or attend a meeting online or in person, get clear about the start and end time. Boy, that's a tough one. That's a
yeah,
tough one, you know, especially if you're a coach. You know, I know that it's very important. You're engaged. You're talking to somebody. You know, they're pouring their heart out to you, or you're moving forward. But then that time comes to an end. It's like you've got to value that time, and they have to know that too. Because I know for me, I find myself, and this, I'm guilty of this. I mean, I'll just kind of go on and in a situation that I know that I have to end it. And I say, oh, even like, for example, leaving work, You know, it's almost 5:30, and that normally is when I leave, right? So, you know, I'll look at the clock, and at 5:25, I suddenly start doing something else. You know, I'm not managing my time. Why would
right.
I do that if I want to leave at 5:30? You know, it could get done the next day. I drive myself crazy. So
you're an overachiever.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, that could be good and bad. So
yes.
Bad when I get home and we're eating at like 8 o'clock at night. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we've got more to talk about. 15 things successful entrepreneurs do every day. Stay tuned. We got just after this short little break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Henderson, host of eWomen Radio Network's Idea Success with Sylvia. Listen live Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to get your ideas, dreams, goals, and plans out of your head and into action for profit and purpose. I'll interview people who've taken their ideas and made them reality, uncovering successes, challenges, and the lessons they've learned in the process. We'll hear from experts who help you get unstuck and be in action as you or your team put your ideas in motion. I'll share insights on the systems I use with my clients to get things done in business and life. Join me Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern or later at EWNRadioNetwork.com. I am bursting at the seams to share great ideas, introduce you to amazing people, and be your catalyst for turning your dreams into dollars and your ideas into income and impact. That's Idea Success with Sylvia, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Welcome back to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And we're here for our final segment of Close Up. Talking about 15 things successful entrepreneurs do every day with Mona Lisa Como, EWN Radio Network host of Power Lunch that airs on Fridays at 12 Eastern Time. She is an entrepreneur. She's a mother. She's an amazing person. She's a mentor. So we're really diving into these daily habits. We've talked about 7 of them. Eat breakfast, plan your day, don't check email right away, single task, no multitasking, visualize your success, say no, value your time, and we got to wrap up here with the last 8 of them. Delegate. We kind of alluded to that. Do you have trouble with that, or are you a control freak?
No, you know, I had to learn early on that, you know, I was at some points the highest paid analyst because I wouldn't allow myself to delegate. And I think it, to your point, it is a control thing. The truth is if you're really good at training people and finding the right talent, the delegation part becomes easy, but you have to put effort into the right talent. And if you find the person who has the right values as you do, that has the same work ethic, you'll find that delegation is actually one of the easiest things to do, but it requires effort on finding the right people.
Also, she talks about, and this is what's interesting, remember, this is 15 Things Successful Entrepreneurs Do Every Day, written by Jacqueline Whitmore for Entrepreneur Magazine. It's not just organization, but it's also things that you do, so delegating is important, value your time, but she also talks about listening. Be present when you speak with a colleague or employee. Take the time to fully understand what that person is saying. Leaders who listen effectively avoid miscommunications and are less likely to have to ask for clarification later. For me, I write everything down because I'm one of those people that I process things more visually than auditorily. So if somebody's telling me something, I got to write it down or I'll forget. So, but I think that listening is also keeping you present, which is something that we talked about earlier. How valuable is that to you?
Well, it forces you to engage. If you're not listening, then you're not fully engaged in the moment. And to her point, you're not going to have the opportunity to fully understand what the other person is saying. It seems like an easy thing to do, but at this day and age, when you're talking to folks and they're paying attention to what's going on in their BlackBerry or they're trying to, you know, look at their computer when they're trying to have a meeting with them, I mean, the listening part I would think is one of the easiest, but I actually find that to be the most difficult for many folks, is just being present and fully engaged, and listening is key to that.
And especially if you're a business owner, and even if you're not, if you're working, let's just say you are a business owner and you're with a client, the most important thing you can do is to listen, because that is creating a relationship, and that's what business is all about, is creating relationships. That's how that breeds success. If you are working in the corporate world or any kind of business or working for somebody else, engaging and listening to your coworkers, or those are relationships that are also vital to your success and your happiness. You got to nurture those, and listening is the most important thing. It's about that listening means giving. If you give first, if you give, then you'll get. And that's where the relationship should begin. Another item here, another thing that helps lead to success is show gratitude. What do you do every day to show gratitude? Is it something that you verbalize? Do you think about it? Or maybe you don't. Maybe you forget to. As so many of us can take our lives and good things for granted.
This one, she articulated it, and I would have never thought of putting it on this list. My daily habit is I'm a list person, and so my accomplishment is knowing that if I prioritize my day and there's 18 things, and these are the three things that I need to do in my personal life and my professional, I'm grateful that I got it done. I actually do this unconsciously. It's part of my engaging myself. It's part of my solemn moments where I'm fully focused on what do I want the day to look like, and then at the end of the day, I'm always checking off, well, I'm so grateful that I was able to get this done. And even if it's only one thing, if it's a really bad day, I swear to you, I look back and say, well, it could be worse. I could still be drinking out of a fire hose the way I was a month ago. And I find that it propels me to what you were saying earlier. Some entrepreneurs get focused too bogged down on what they haven't gotten done, that it hinders their ability to be positive about what they can get done.
I think also showing gratitude or thinking about something you're grateful for when times are tough. Maybe you've had a lousy, or you lost a business, or you had a lousy experience with a client, or an interview or whatever. Everything, to me, it's all about looking at it from the standpoint of everything is a learning experience. So even if it's something that feels bad, say to yourself, what did I learn from this? How are things going to be different? And then be grateful that it happened, because you learned from it. And that's the only way, that's the best way for growth. And when you grow, you succeed. Success isn't just, we're not talking about like having a lot of money. Success is, to me, ultimately, is finding balance, is what we will go back to when we were talking earlier, is just feeling a sense of joy in your life. And these are some of the things to help you do that. Whatever you do, whether you're working and building in construction and building a house, or you're working in the finance industry, either one, whatever you're doing. All these things can help you succeed, because all of these things that we're discussing will just help you find that balance that we're talking about. Another thing she talks about, stand up and move around. I just say move, people, move. And I think this is so interesting. She said that sitting is the new smoking.
I agree.
I mean, right?
Oh, I agree.
So
I mean, when I'm on the phone, when I'm on the phone, I mean, if I'm sitting for more than a few hours, I mean, if you were ever to pass by my office, it'd look weird because I would be standing up. And I don't do it because I think I need to be successful. I just find, and she articulates it well in this article, is you if you don't get the blood moving, and I also think working out is definitely key for all successful entrepreneurs, you gotta get the blood pumping, because even just as another entrepreneur had told me, one of her successful instances or thought process for her was just sitting on the other side of her desk, right? She would get up and she's like, you know what? I've been sitting on my side of the desk the whole day. I'm going to take this call on the other side of the desk. And for some reason, that just opened up a new opportunity for her, or she would look at something with a different vantage point. But definitely, definitely get up and move around, because if you're bogged into the same spot all day long, you do wind up getting into a robotic mentality.
Yeah, get that blood flow, do some, you know, just don't fold, that's a yoga term, you know, when you bend forward, just let yourself just move, whatever, jumping jacks, or just walk around the office, or whatever it is, just go into the kitchen, come out of the, whatever, you got to move. Okay, another thing, breathe deeply. I'm very big fan of breathing.
Especially being a yoga instructor, yeah, this is key.
Yes, but breathing, we take it for granted. I'm not talking about just something that we just do involuntarily. I'm talking about recognizing your breath, because that brings you back into the moment. And I can just give you one quick exercise right now, if you've never done this, is if you breathe in, let's say you count three counts, exhale. When you exhale, double that, and automatically everything that just feels crazy and chaotic from that one breath with a long exhalation will calm you down and clear your head. It is so simple, and so many of us forget to do that. Do you forget sometimes to breathe?
I do. I think the only time I remember to breathe is in the morning, and then in the evening when I'm doing my list of exhaling of, okay, I've got everything done. But you're right. I mean, when I do have yoga moments and I can actually take the time to do it, it's amazing how much just that a really good breath can actually re-energize your body and your mind.
Oh, it's so true. And it's really just conscious breathing is what we're talking about. So next time you get all stressed out and you become and you find yourself just out of breath, you know, that's your body telling you, take a moment.
Take a break.
Breathe in and long exhalation. And I guarantee you for that moment, your troubles will dissipate for that moment. So another thing, take a lunch break. Oh, my gosh. So many people sit at their desk, including me, but I really try to take some time. But it's so hard sometimes to do that. But we've got to do it. Do you find yourself sitting at your computer eating lunch?
I find myself minimally sitting in my office. If I take a lunch break, it's not a full lunch. And I've learned over time that it's the lighter lunches that can actually help you kind of get through your day and not fall asleep. But this one, I would say, when I do make it a priority, and that's the one thing where I got to get better at, is my lunches generally revolve around client meetings. And so I'm fortunate that I schedule all my client meetings over lunch breaks. But when I don't have a client meeting that revolves around a lunch, then I'm not that good. So I agree with her that it's a great opportunity for networking, but it's also just for recharging.
It is. It's the same thing in the morning, having your breakfast. You know, it's just
having
a
moment.
Even if it's for 10 minutes, just step away from the desk. And the final
step away from the computer.
Step away from the computer. And the final thing of our 15 things successful entrepreneurs do every day is clear your desk at the end of the day. Boy, I love when I do that. And so often I walk out and my desk is still messy, but I so admire those people who have clean desks at the end of the day.
I can't leave the day. For me, cleaning my desk before I leave, along with making my bed in the morning, those two are synonymous for me. Because I feel like when you start your day and you make the bed, it's kind of my way of saying I can't go back to bed because I've made the bed. And then for work, I have this ritual where my pens have to be in one area, and then there's a sense of accomplishment if you don't make it a habit. But once you get into the habit, it does feel like you've successfully completed your day. It doesn't matter how crappy my day is. If I clean my desk and at least say, okay, this horrible file, I don't want to look at it, but I'm going to tuck it away over here and I'm going to straighten my pens. It's a little bit of OCD, I would say. But I do feel very accomplished. I do it more for the sense of accomplishment and also my closure for the day to say, okay, we're done here. And now I'm going to go focus on the drive and then detoxing, and then I'm going to go focus on my family. So for me, it's kind of that transition by clearing my desk by the end of the day. Now, during the day, it looks chaotic. But at the end of the day, if I force myself every single day with as a habit, and I've been doing this for years, I finish the day closing it out, moving everything, so when I come in the next morning, it's a fresh start.
Yeah, I try to do that, and I always try to have a little to-do list for the next morning so that I know exactly where I have to start. But thank you, Mona Lisa. Great. I love talking to you. You have such wonderful insight, and we're so proud to have you a part of EWN Radio Network. Again, listen to her show, Power Lunch, on Fridays. It's live at 12 noon Eastern. If you can't listen there, you can listen to her and all of our other fabulous EWN Radio Network hosts at EWNRadioNetwork.com. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thanks, Phyllis.